Good evening. It is Saturday night, April 7th, 2018, and we are live from the SAP Center at San Jose. This is Teal Town After Dark. You're live in Interactive Sharks postgame show alongside my fellow Notchbro Gentry Alexander, Mr. AJ Strong. How are you, sir?
Well, I've been better. Yeah. I've so been better. You talk about the Sharks back in one. Just backing right up into this. My disappointment knows no bounds right now, especially getting Kane back to start this one.
Right. And the tough part is that LA loses, Anaheim beats, wait.
You got it ready?
The Desert Dogs.
Oh, wait a minute. He mentioned the Desert Dogs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But, gent, despite after all this, Anaheim wins, San Jose loses, and regulation, that means we're going to Anaheim this week to start the playoffs.
You know, I wish this was like one of those we're going to Disneyland moments was a good thing, but unfortunately it's not. But the season ended as the season began. The Sharks ended up losing to Philadelphia in the home opener, and we ended up losing to the Minnesota Wild. But right now, Eric has his dream matchup in the first round of the Central. He gets a min and win series with the Minnesota Wild and the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know what Eric's going to do with himself during this time. I don't know who he's going to pick as a sleeper pick. But so far,
I'm going to guess that the name of the team has INN in their name. I'm just saying.
Yep. The game tonight was kind of a wash. They kind of had a little bit of life in them in the first period. After being down 2-0, and then in a minute and a half, they tied it up 2-2, and just seemed that the Sharks kind of gave up after that.
See, I cannot disagree with that more.
But look at it right away. I mean, well, let's break it down.
Well, let's break it down. I have my notes here. So, zero shots on goal for the Sharks through the first nine and a half minutes. So, yeah, that's acting like you're really, really wanting that second seed. I'm just saying. But we got goals from Minnesota, Broden, Coyle, and Ennis, 10:53 of the first. Then what is that? Colin Ennis
and
Peldepio. Belpedio. I don't, dude, that name almost is like a little too pedo for me. Yeah, I'm just saying.
But I'm just going to say on that first goal, it's a post-Teal syndrome because Coyle gets a point on
of
that.
Course. So 10:53 from Minnesota, then 14:52, minuscule, 4 minutes later in the first. Suddenly, San Jose wakes up, Burns from Sorensen and Ward at 15:28, and then Pavelski and Bodker put the team and tie this game at 16:32 of the first. But when we're talking about the first period here, guys, to me, it was all about, dude.
It was domination in the first period.
Yeah, to me, I don't know that it was domination. I felt like this game was very reminiscent of the Dallas game where the Sharks just came out asleep, and tonight was very much the same way. Again, I go back to the fact that through the first 9 minutes, zero shots on goal.
So are you talking about the Dallas game? The
what do I say always from that Sharks commercial? In life, as in hockey, it takes goals to win.
Yeah.
Well, in order to get goals, you need to get shots. And unfortunately, they didn't come up with that. So that was one huge thing, but at least they got it tied.
No, I agree with that. I think that they got it tied on some very good shots, but it just seemed after that is that the Sharks kind of were like for the first 10 minutes or so of the period, it seemed that Minnesota was just on a perpetual power play. They were cycling the puck in the zone. I can count like it was like at least 8 minutes of actual puck possession from the Minnesota Wild. I might be wrong on this, but from sitting down where I was at, I was at the.
It felt like eight consecutive minutes.
Yes, no, because it was literally like 10 minutes or so before we had an even stoppage of play, you know, and it was just all of Minnesota the entire time. So,
well, and our man on the scene, Alex. I mean, you saw this on TV. What did you think about this?
Hey, oh,
wait a minute. Hold on. I'm a bad producer.
Hold on.
Why have you two?
There you go. Okay, buddy.
You know, this is not going to go well if we're actually still doing this. But, you know, it was basically the same reaction to you guys. It felt like it was 10 minutes on the power play when it was really just 4 minutes. 4 2-minutes. Minnesota Wild came out to play when they really didn't need to come out and play. They already locked up the playoffs. In regards to that, I was kind of just surprised that Jones was still starting tonight. I don't know why Dell was play, or why Jones was playing tonight. It should have been a Dell starter in general.
Well, I mean, did you think that? Because this was a massive game. You're going to start your best goalie.
Yeah, but for the most part, Jones has played 10 or 12 games in a row. And so you need to give him a rest. So I was happy that the Sharks played against Colorado. I thought that would have been the last game for Jones. He looked really tired against Colorado towards the end of the third period. And frankly, Minnesota is a team we should beat regardless if it's Dell or Jones.
And it's funny you say that because I wanted Dell to start versus Dallas.
I think Dallas was still playing for a playoff spot, and I think they were trying to kick out Dallas, who I thought was a very capable cup contender this year.
Yeah, but you talk about Dallas playing for a spot. What happened? You know, letting those in, and yeah, then McKenna came in and said,
well, you know, it was the backup. So, you know, of course the Sharks are going to
blow. Inception goalie.
You know, if they had the Emmy, they would have made the playoffs.
Oh, stop it. All right, how do I turn him
where's
off?
Where's Nemo right now? Hey, where's Nemo right now? But are they in the playoffs? You're welcome. Anywho, no, but I think I do agree with Alex. They should have started Dell at least one of these three homestand games. At least one. I think you needed to get – sorry. Needed to give Jones a bit of a rest. Maybe have him start against Colorado because I know they were, you know, struggling. But I think that you could have psyched out Colorado just enough to make it a, make it an even series or at least give Jones the rest. Because what was it in 2016 that we saw that the Sharks did? It was that they acquired James Reimer so that they can give Jones the rest going into the playoffs. They didn't have that luxury, or they didn't choose that, have that luxury of having Dell.
But we have a very okay goalie.
But that's the point. And we didn't have to give up 2 second rounders for him.
That's true. That's true. Let's get into the second here, boys. So second period, we saw three straight goals from the Wild. Granlund from Greenway, Sealer, 11:19 of the second. Zucker, Niederreiter, and Dumba, 11:47. I mean, this was one of those ones where Danny Miller didn't even get the first goal out of his mouth before the Wild scored again. And then
it would have gone Minnesota. Oh, crap.
Yeah, pretty much. And follow that up at 15:25 of the second. Zucker, Niederreiter again. And then Belpedio going again. Dear Lord, how many Wild?
Is that an Italian spice?
I hope so. I need a little more Belpedio on my lasagna. How many Wild tonight got multiple points? I mean, it's insane. So to get into the second, we really didn't see much more of a push from the Sharks. I mean, obviously. Three. So after the Sharks tie it up, they get those two quickies towards the end of the first. Then they allow the Wild to go three straight, mm-hmm. No answer, and
it took the people out right out of this building.
Sucked the air right out.
And this place was jacked when they tied this game up.
Oh,
and you could feel on the concourse when we had our first intermission tweet up, and it was just it was. Yeah, there was optimism because remember.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
But also at the same time, it's like, remember, the Sharks only needed 1 point to clinch second spot in home ice. So there was that. So when you had those three goals, it's like, oh, crap. It's like,
So.
All right. Well, so Alex, what did you take from the second?
So in terms of the second period, I thought the goals that Jones gave up were really easy. Glove hand high, stuff that Jones stops normally. He just seemed like he let it in. And I know I'm going to give the Wild a ton of credit for actually playing tonight, but like, I think a lot of the credit or blame should go to Jones in some regards in the second period, not in the first, because I think the Sharks just didn't play defense. So they didn't. Or is that there's the second goal where they're just basically deking around the defenseman. I just don't know why they came out so slow. And the Wild are maybe a scarier team than we think they are. They have, I would think they're not that great though, because they just lost Ryan Suter.
You talk about that loss and you talk about the fact that the Minnesota Wild come into this game literally having almost nothing to play for. I mean, really? They're not going to move, and their spots are going to get knocked out by anybody. Whereas the Sharks, oh my God, there was like 18 different versions of how tonight could end between LA, the Ducks, everything like that. So it just it makes you wonder.
In the case of the Wild, though, I think losing Ryan Suter, they're actually having to do more with less. And I think that's what's making the Wild maybe a dangerous team in the West. Maybe they might get to the second round. Maybe they might surprise Winnipeg if they get one of two, which is a tall feat.
I mean, I agree with that, but it comes down to the fact that who wants it more? That the Sharks had something to play for, and this team came out with a lackluster first 10 minutes of this game, and Minnesota was actually, they didn't have anything to play for. They had their third seed secured in the Central. Now you're telling me that the Sharks were down 2-0. They answered right back, and it seemed like, okay, well, you know, the Sharks could kind of get something going. Then all of a sudden, it just takes two quick goals from Minnesota, and it just seemed all the air and all the life and all the atmosphere in this building, which was already high because they tied this game, was just gone. It was a fast turnaround, and like I said, it almost reminded me of, you know, the home opener when we were against Philadelphia, and the Sharks tied it up. And all of a sudden, Philadelphia came out like gangbusters. The only thing we were missing was a hat trick from somebody. And I thought Zucker was going to get that.
And I go back to the L.A. game, the second game of the season, where pretty much the, you know, air, oxygen, whatever you want to call it, was sucked right out of the building at that point. So after the second period, Sharks down 5-3. At this point, we're talking shots on goal, Minnesota 19, Sharks 12. Now, obviously, a little bit better for the second. You're talking 7-on-7 versus a 12-5 in the first. But, I mean, just an abhorrent second period. And when you consider what the Sharks have on the line for this, I mean, they have backed into this, losing 4 out of their last 5. And to the point where, again, the Sharks are backing up into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And how well has that worked for them?
Not well, and especially not well when playing Anaheim. I mean, they backed into a playoff spot in 09. They backed into the division title. They backed into the President's Trophy.
They backed into the President's Trophy, and everybody was like, oh, well, the Sharks still have, because wasn't it Anaheim who didn't get into the playoffs until the last two games of that of the season when they went against the Sharks, and everyone was like, oh, well, we're going to take it down. They have a no-name goalie, and his name is Hyler and whatever. Jonas Hyler.
Oh, wait.
You remember? Yeah, they were saying Hyler instead of Hiller.
And I still go back to the fact, President's Trophy, it's like winning the Best New Grammy, right? Or Best New Artist Grammy.
So good luck to Nashville on that.
Kiss of death.
Good luck to Nashville. I hope you enjoy it, Carrie Underwood. We all know how I feel about you and your playoffs.
Oh, the amount of times I've enjoyed Carrie Underwood. She beautiful music.
Speaking of which, do we know who the coach is for the Penguins?
Oh, dear Lord. Here we go. Alex, your take from the third, brother.
You know, I much like what you guys just said, but I think the energy in the building, again, I was watching it. Hey now. But it just seemed like if this was a game 50, game 60, there would have been a lot more energy from the Sharks. And usually the crowd feeds off what the Sharks give off.
Well, and I think if it's game 50 or game 60, there's not nearly as much on the line.
I mean, there was stuff on the line to get like it, but it's the number two spot. It's not a division lead. It's not that. Honestly,
but it's home ice.
Against what? The Kings? I think there's, you can make the argument
against
that,
the Ducks.
I guess the Ducks, yeah. Yeah, I get it. I just think that the Sharks kind of gave up halfway through the second period, which kind of led to the third period being kind of a waste of time to watch because up until the last 3 minutes of ice, there was literally no pulse from the Sharks.
Dude, there was no pulse from the Sharks for the opening 10 minutes, dude. Zero shots on goal.
I mean, like, the first the two quick goals in the first period, yeah, it was 2-2.
Well, I mean, they finished the first strong after, let's be honest, crapping the bed for like the first 15 minutes. And I mean, three straight in the second, and then in the third, okay, you know, at 18:50 of the third, Meyer teases everybody from DeMello and Burns, you know, 18:50, you know, minute. Oh, okay, we're gonna pull Dell after he starts the third.
Dude, you're pulling a Dell.
You're pulling a Dell.
Yeah, right. Just keep on pulling that Dell.
Keep pulling that Dell. But Meyer, DeMello, and Burns, just, you know, that little teaser goal, and then of course, what is it? 40 seconds, not even 40 seconds later, Stahl unassisted buries it in the empty netter. So
we pulled a Dell and gave it a gateway to an empty netter.
None of this is written down. This is, we're all just off the cuff. Just letting you know.
Still better than Puck Geyser in a connection.
Oh, hey now.
So, hey, don't make me come over there with facts about Nabokov. kidding.
Everybody watching, it is what it is. This is what the Sharks have backed themselves into. Losing four of their last five after that ridiculously awesome 8-game winning streak. So the Sharks are starting the first round on the road in Anaheim. And so what do we expect? I was actually a guy who was looking forward to seeing Anaheim in the first round. I'm tired of seeing the Ducks, to be honest with you.
Kings.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm tired of seeing how tired I am.
I did the same thing too. AJ.
I'm tired of seeing the Kings. I want to see the Ducks. And I think, honestly, I mean, literally, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, how you approach this series, because we don't have to face Jeff Carter. We don't have to face Drew Doughty. We don't have to face Dion Phaneuf, although Dion Phaneuf, clearly not the guy he used to be.
Hart. Finalist Kopitar.
Oh, Kopitar. Yeah, I mean, could easily get the MVP. So I kind of feel a little bit better about Ducks. I mean, Perry and Getzlaf, not great years this year, especially Perry, not the guy that we're used to over the last few years.
I mean, Getzlaf and Perry.
And so we have who and go for that? It's Gibson and...
No, Gibson is out for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Miller that's going to be in net.
Oh, Ryan Miller. Killer. Yeah, but he's not wearing a Buffalo jersey, so we're okay.
He's still a Victoria Sharks killer. And then also
Cam not when Fowler. He's wearing a Vancouver jersey.
Cam Fowler is going to be out for 2 to 6 weeks.
See? Okay, well, then the Sharks might have backed up into something that actually works for him. But that means that Sharks are basically visitors throughout the playoffs.
Pretty much, because what tonight also meant was the winner of this game, if the Wild and the Sharks were to go to the Western Conference Final, well,
yeah,
there's always those chances. But this game decided who would host the Western Conference Final, if it's Minnesota or San Jose. Congratulations, Minnesota. You hold home ice if that's the case.
Well, and you're saying there, oh, not going to happen. When was it? Like 2008, 2009, somewhere in there, where the bottom four, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all beat 1 through 4.
That was 2010.
Wasn't that 2004, 2005?
No, I think it was 2006.
Okay, 2006.
And then they were the San Jose was the number 5 seed. Oh, thank you. I could. No, San Jose was the number 5 seed, and then it was 6, 7, 8.
No, that was a really weird thing about that season, because literally in the West, 5 through 8 won the first round, and in the East, 1 through 4.
Yeah.
And so you sit there and go, there's no way that's going to happen. We have seen stranger things happen in the playoffs, my friend.
My thing is that the Jets are just way too loaded this year. I think that they have finally got.
But they don't have Evander Kane.
No, but they have Patrick Laine. They have Kyle Connor. They have Blake Wheeler. Shall I go on? Mark Scheifele.
We probably want to talk about the Sharks and the Ducks because that's what's coming up.
Yes, but still.
The thing with the Ducks though is that I think they're finally getting healthy, even though they lost Gibson. Getzlaf and Perry are starting to play their best hockey right now. And the Sharks have had trouble.
I don't know that that's saying a whole lot, but okay.
I mean, Getzlaf and Perry are probably they're one of the best duos in the NHL right now. I really do like Getzlaf a lot, and he's always been a tough matchup when facing.
You want to know what I'm – sorry, Alex. I just wanted to say, you want to know what I'm more afraid of in the against the Ducks? And it's going to be my X factor for them is Adam Henrique. He's quietly had a really good season for them since going to the Ducks.
Ducks, yeah.
And he has solidified that second line. And then when Getzlaf came back, all he's had to do is just have to – he's played against weaker opponents, and he can instantly burn any of the Sharks' third or fourth line centers if Eric Fehr is not going to be back for the playoffs. I think that Adam Henrique can, literally, he sent the Devils to the Stanley Cup final.
If the Ducks intend to slow down the Sharks, then I think the Ducks will probably have a very good in terms of physical prowess, in terms of huge bodies. They have three lines that can instantly stop you. And that
we thought that against Pittsburgh.
Look, one of the things you brought up is health. From what we've heard from PDB, Kevin Kurz talking earlier on Twitter and all of that, is the fact that aside from Jumbo, everybody will be available for game one. Okay. Now, granted, we did see Evander Kane come back tonight.
The speed was still there.
Speed was there, but the top line was unimpressive tonight. They did they did get a goal. Pavelski got a goal, that assist came from Bodker. So, Kane not a factor tonight, and that might be disturbing when you consider how much of a factor he had been in all the previous games he had played as a Shark.
In terms of Evander Kane,
has no playoff experience, and this is what I was kind of afraid of when we were acquiring him, was that, yes, he's finally getting to the point where he can play for a Stanley Cup playoff series. This is his first time in entire career playing in the playoffs. However, that's going to be coming with a lot of expectations because he was the big fish at the trade deadline. He's coming to a team that's,
literally was a big fish. Can you name a bigger acquisition at this deadline this year? Or more surprising? I really can't.
Thomas Tatar from the...
Tatar. Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, because that one's...
Stastny was good.
Three draft picks from the Vegas.
I will give you that. I'll give you the Tatar one. Nobody saw that coming. Everybody knew Kane wanted out. Tatar? You would have thought Detroit would have wanted to hang on to him.
I think he's a really good talent, but the amount of draft picks they gave up, you might want to throw in the Tampa Bay Lightning and New York Rangers trade, how the Rangers kind of just gutted themselves at the deadline. I'm not too sure that trade worked out for the Lightning quite yet. But no one saw the Thomas Tatar trade at all for what they gave up. Three draft picks.
I was going to say, if you're a St. Louis fan, how pissed are you that Paul Stastny is a Winnipeg Jet, especially after tonight?
You know what? I wasn't paying attention. How did that work out? St. Louis or Colorado? Who's in?
Colorado.
Colorado.
Oh, man. I got the Blues.
So quickly, I don't think – is Rocket even awake right now?
Oh, no. Rocket's been asleep for quite some time. I have no wraparound in front of me. So
in the West –
Literally, it's no more if the playoffs started. No, literally, the playoffs start.
So in the West, it's Nashville versus Colorado. So there's some travel there, but everybody else is thank you, Jen. Everybody else is pretty much local. I mean, you have
LA, well, hold on.
You have LA, Vegas.
Hold on, Nashville, Colorado. Obviously, well, I don't, is there any history there? I don't feel like there's any history there. There's like no animosity. There's really nothing in that.
It's honestly going to be speed and skill against
nothing.
Yeah.
So I
might,
feel like
that might work out probably, for Colorado, though.
I'm sorry, Alex?
That might work out for Colorado, though. Just unexperienced team with a ton of talent, gain some playoff experience. They might not win against Nashville, but they're definitely going to get some experience.
I see Nashville taking that, honestly, in five games. I mean, you're talking, you know, Western Conference division champion.
And they're without Varlamov, although Bernie has played very well this year.
Yeah.
Johnson's out. I mean, that Colorado team has been resilient, but I can't see them doing anything against Nashville.
Yeah, I would say Nashville in five games in that one, but I'm sorry, Alex, go ahead.
I do think, though, that MacKinnon probably locked up the MVP trophy for at least this season, just making Colorado a playoff
not
team.
Not Kopitar?
No, I would give it to MacKinnon. He single-handedly
willed
the Avs into the playoffs.
It's either MacKinnon
honestly,
or
the only way that the Avs are going to go in deep is they have to have Nathan MacKinnon score all their goals and get all the assists. So that's the only way.
I mean, we've seen it.
So you're telling me there's a chance? I'm calling Nashville in six. At most. What's the next step?
I'll take Nashville in five. Yeah.
Oh, Nashville in five.
Nashville in five.
Okay, so what's the next match?
So Minnie and Winnie.
Minnie and Winnie, your favorite. Either way, you win.
Winnipeg in four.
I would go. I'm gonna go Winnipeg in five. Unless Dubnyk stands on his head like he did tonight, and guys, we didn't talk about, but he made some unbelievable saves, especially on that third period with Pavelski. I mean, that was crazy. But Minnesota Winnipeg, that should be a fun series.
It's going to be a fun series, but here's the thing: is that Jake Allen outdueled Devin Dubnyk last year. Connor Hellebuyck is going to just stand on his head and steal it for the Jets because he has something to prove. Honestly, in the Jets' top six are just lethal. And they've got the depth on defense. They've got Trouba coming back. They still got Dustin Byfuglien, who's, let's not forget, a Stanley Cup champion. So I think that means so much
if you're Doug Wilson.
I still think that the Ryan Suter injury is going to be way too much for Minnesota to actually. They might get one game, but at best, I'm thinking it's going to be a sweep.
Yeah, I'm going Winnie in five.
Yeah.
I think with that whiteout in Winnipeg, I'm sorry. That place gets crazy, and I think they have a lesser opponent. They have home ice, and with them, if anything goes to a game seven, I think it's Winnipeg that gets that edge if it goes to seven.
Okay, let's get to the series that I was really looking forward to. Okay. L.A. versus Vegas. I've been so looking forward to this series.
Kings in four.
I don't know about that, but this is one that I've been looking forward to.
Fire the puck at Fleury's head, and he'll be concussed. And who do you have in net? Malcolm Subban.
Oh my god!
Honestly, I think that this team lucked into the playoffs. They lucked out this entire year. So the Golden Knights are going to have to face an opponent that's actually won a Stanley Cup, and they've had the experience. They have a fully healthy team. They've got Jeff Carter. They've got Kopitar. They've got a resurgence of Dustin Brown, knee destroyer of worlds, and Quick, who we all know can just win a series.
This is a series I see going seven, but I can instantly see it going five or six at the same time.
Gentry, you ignorant slut.
wow, we're going back to our original Pucknology playoff roots.
You ignorant slut.
Go ahead.
No, Vegas is literally rolling like four second lines. Exactly. And that's the key here. If Flower stays healthy, I just if Vegas had done what they had done for a brief time, a couple months, then you look at it and you go, okay, that's an anomaly, and oh, that was very fun. They've literally done this the entire season, and that's got to scare the hell out of LA, to be honest with you. So I think Vegas is going to win that in six. I think LA might win two at home, and they're going to get a little bump, but Vegas flu affects everybody, my friend.
I don't know. I still think that the Kings have they have the experience. They have the drive, because honestly, if there's any team that can just upset the order, like can like March Madness this crap, it's the Kings.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Well, for me, I'll say this. Let's see how much $500 million gets the Vegas Golden Knights. All I'm saying. I mean, I can't see them just being like done one and out. No offense, Jen, but I think LA can pull this off. But I think it'll go seven. And with that being said, for the Sharks and Ducks, if it goes seven, even better. But that's the thing is all these matchups, with the exception of Colorado and Nashville, they're very local. Minnesota, Winnipeg, that's not far. San Jose, Anaheim, not far. Las Vegas. LA.
I mean, that's literally like highway series.
Right.
You know?
So, I mean, the only one is Colorado, Nashville. So whoever's got that winner, have fun with that.
So let's do the series that we're all looking forward to, people. Obviously, Sharks and Anaheim. I mean, early on predictions, obviously, you don't like seeing the Sharks back up into this one. Losing four of the last five is horrible. We all saw what was, I'm sorry, in my estimation, the worst game the Sharks have ever shown five nights ago versus the Dallas Stars, to basically kick Lettinen out of the net in the first, 11 minutes or so of that game, and then all of a sudden McKenna comes in and all of a sudden looks like a Vezina winner, which, of course, the Sharks have a beautiful history of seemingly to do, despite Chris JWS's stats. But it comes down to you look at – I love to look at trends. I love to look at short-term trends, 5 games, 10 games. The Sharks' power play – did the Sharks score a power play goal today? No, were there any power plays tonight?
There were three power play opportunities, but the Sharks blew all of them.
Kind of whiffed it on both of them.
Well, what a shocker. So, anywho.
But here's the thing that I really want to drive home is that this is kind of reminiscent of how we had it last year. The Sharks had the Pacific Division literally locked up until the last 7 or 8 games of the year, where they went on that horrible, horrible losing streak.
Well, remember the good old days when Doug Wilson would tell us, well, at the end of January, you know, the Sharks beat Chicago and L.A. and Anaheim, and then everything just fell apart. You know, that was when they literally had, like, a second spot locked up, and all of a sudden they missed the playoffs. So –
I think in regards to that,
what I'm saying here is you. Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. Go ahead.
Yeah, in regards to the 8-game winning streak, we only played 2 playoff opponents. You can make the case the Sharks beat up lower competition to make it to the playoffs, and of course,
hold on. You can say only 2 playoff opponents, but you can also go back to that game versus Nashville, and you look at how solidly Sharks played Nashville despite the loss. If the Sharks had shown up versus Dallas like they did versus Nashville, they would have blown Dallas out of this building.
Yes. No, if honestly it all – like the turning point for me this entire season was that Dallas game. Because if you won that Dallas game and then you would have won that game again, and then you win the game against Colorado, this game would have completely been a wash. Like, it could have been one of those games where you could have put in Dell, and it's like, okay, whatever, not that big of a deal. A little closer. Sorry. but what you do is you have a 2-0 lead. You blow it, and then you give, Ben a hat trick, and it's And it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, honestly, the Sharks had the had their second seed, like in their grasp. The destiny was in their hands, and they let it slip through, like it was Kaepernick throwing to the end zone and letting Richard Sherman just, you know, intercept it.
Again, it's one of those things. The Sharks have to back up into a playoff, which is not the greatest thing in the world. Thank you.
So the Sharks versus playoff opponents are 12 and 12 in the West.
What's your prediction
for the Ducks and Sharks?
For the Sharks in against the Ducks. Honestly, if it comes to if Camford doesn't return in the series, and if it's just Miller, this is me being optimistic. I'm saying Sharks in six. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Okay. Well, hey, if they can miraculously get this power play going, they can finish this up earlier than six.
What proof have you seen that they're gonna get this power play going this season?
I'm just putting this out there. If they can get the power play going, that's gonna make them pay, because you know, dingalings like Ryan Kesler and Kevin Bieksa, you know, I mean, all we need is them to go green and blue and then have John Shorthouse call the game for them.
No.
Wait, so you mean
it's not too far off.
Could have been Shark Kevin Bieksa?
Stop. Just stop.
I have Ducks winning.
Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
I have Ducks winning in seven. But if I'm being an optimist for the Sharks, it has to be six. Like, that's kind of where I think it's going to be one of those series that whoever wins home ice is going to win.
You think it's going to be one of those ones where home team wins the game?
It might just come down to that. And we're going to look back on this four game losing streak at the very end of the pretty bad afterwards.
Well, and you also take into account, don't the Sharks own the series this year? Like 3-0-1?
Yeah. They, I think it would be, what it came down to it is, if they did get the point, they could have tied Anaheim at 1-1, but they had the season series, and the season series is by points, and the Sharks went 7-4 in that. So that's where the Sharks would have won that series. Unfortunately, that didn't happen tonight for the Sharks. Jones, it's got to be amazing. You have all this depth. And I saw in the chat earlier, you know, they have the depth to do this, guys. I mean, it's capable. And if guys are ready to go, like Fair and Goodrow for that fourth line, that's going to be something good.
I think that's actually the key, is Eric Fair. We haven't seen him in like a week and a half, and there's almost been nothing written about him, because we've seen everything, of course, written about Kane, upper body injury and whatnot. We've heard everything about Thornton. Well, he's skating, blah, blah, blah. And then we heard about the hand injury to Goodrow and whatnot. But literally, when it comes to Fair, like, there's been almost no news. And I'm one of those people, like, no news is good news. But the fact of the matter is, we're not seeing Fair on the ice right now. And to me, he is going to be that kind of that cog that you need in the fourth line, the kind of
he makes your center depth like dangerous. He gives it that point, because
Would rather have Fair than Graham Bell at this point.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I think Dylan has
Gambrell.
Graham Bell. I think he's played a solid game, Dylan, but it's like he's come in and in those games that he's played, he's what, 1-2? So
it is a team sport.
Yeah. But you know, we're all looking at, you know, fancy stats and stuff like that. So
in terms
is, if Eric Fair is healthy, you better start him against the Ducks, because you have a center depth of, you know, Getzlaff, you know, and then you have Kesler, you have Cogliano and Henrique. It goes on and on and on. So you better come prepared against Anaheim, and there's no shootout that can help you advance to the next round.
Yeah. I think in general, if you think that the series is going to come down to if Fair is going to be available, then I think that says a lot about the Sharks' depth or lack of.
Well, and I kind of lay a little bit of this on first and second lines, especially without Jumbo. Maybe they're kind of evenly matched. I really look at that third line, Tierney, LeBanc, Meyer. LeBanc, to me, I'm sorry, the last week and a half of him, he has made a ton of unforced giveaways I don't know what has happened to this game. I don't know if he's looking for his assists again or something and not firing on net. LeBanc's game to me has just taken a downward slide. And I don't know if he's like bringing Tierney and Meyer down with him, but he's made some very questionable decisions.
Yeah. And that's something that the Sharks need to go ahead.
I was going to say that where is Joakim Ryan? Like, he hasn't been playing for the past 2 weeks.
Another guy that we're kind of like, what is his injury about? Well, like, why aren't we hearing about him? And you make a great point. Paul Martin, not especially great over the last few games.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that they didn't put Joakim Ryan in just to give him a shot. Maybe even Tim Heat for that matter. You know, kind of looking at in the chat here. Hi, chat. We do see you. A lot of people, first off, saying how they don't believe that there was water in your cup that you dropped earlier.
It's absolutely water. I swear to God. I swear to God.
Believe it or not, folks.
Like, I'm a pretty awesome alcoholic, but I'm not dropping this much vodka in one shot. I'm just saying.
You know, a couple people in chat saying, you know, LMAO, Ducks can't win a game 7. Remember, Bruce Boudreau is no longer the coach of the Ducks, for that matter.
Carlisle, so I think we might have a shot.
That's true, too. Let's see. I'm looking at... I'm trying to see what else we got in here to chat, because we want to... I'm trying to see here. Yes, Mom was in the second group shot. Or at least I thought she was. I'm just going through the chat here and stuff. Go ahead.
But I just want to, like, so with the Ducks and their history of kind of, like, I feel like the Ducks could be that sleeper team that kind of comes in and kind of does what the Sharks did 2 years ago, where nobody really thought much of the Sharks, you know, because we were going up against the Kings and everybody said, oh, the Kings in 5, the Kings in 6, you know, everyone saying that the Sharks were going to be out of it. I feel like the Ducks can kind of be that kind of sleeper team, because they do, like, here's the thing, the difference between the Sharks 2 years ago and the Ducks is that they still have most of that core intact that went to the Stanley Cup final in 06.
And the Sharks don't?
But my thought process is this. The Ducks actually won a cup. Sorry. But the thing that needs to be said about the Ducks is that they have that capacity, and then they have, you know, those guys that you didn't think would be that, you know, like the little pickups here and there. Henrique was he that big of a pickup, you know, according to most, was, you know, but it could turn a series around. Is that Henrique? Because you forget Henrique was a first round pick and he had that ability to just kind of steal games. He had two series clinching goals. And I believe it was 2012. It was one against Florida, and then the other one was against the New York Rangers when the Devils went to the Stanley Cup final against the Kings. So you have that experience right there. You have Ryan Kessler, who's just a pest and all-around D-bag. But he wins face-offs, and he kills
professional penalties. Opinions.
Hey, I was very PG about it, though. Professionalism at its finest.
All right.
Anything in the chat particular, Alex?
Nothing really too important.
We get to the wraparound.
Well, if you consider it, the vast majority of the people.
This is your time to have me.
We're actually here tonight.
That's true. So. That's true. And yet they're still watching, so appreciate it.
Yeah. If you have a question, at me in the chat, and I'll see it.
As opposed to every other day where it's, don't at me, bro.
Kind of, yeah, don't. besides tonight's game, what else stuck out? Was there anything going on with Fan Appreciation Day, or was it just the same old?
Yeah, we might as well talk about that. Appreciation Night, everybody got the barbershop bobblehead. That was a great time. We had a great time at the tweet up. A great turnout for the finale of the tweet up, but it was great.
The thing that the Sharks promoted is the fact that they were going to be giving out probably more prizes than they'd ever done before. They announced the jersey giveaway, of course, randomly throughout here. The other big thing that they did tonight was the fact that they really focused on social media. They were retweeting the official Sharks account, retweeting. Excuse me. For those of you who didn't hear that noise behind us. But the Sharks were retweeting an awful lot of Sharks fans that were kind of putting in their favorite memories of different things, quoting them, using them in materials. So there was a lot of focus on social media. It was almost like a social media night tonight, actually. So there was a lot of that. But for the most part, you know, you had your typical jersey off the back thing, t-shirt cannons, all of the typical, typical stuff that you're used to seeing for a fan appreciation night. But the big focus on social media, but the huger deal tonight, which a lot of people seem to be into, including this guy right here, was the fact that every Sharks kiosk of merchandise and the Sharks store, 20% off, Forte only. And if you were a Fanatics, club card member, essentially?
Yeah.
Another 20% on top of that. So 40% off. So
essentially, if like this Reebok, this Adidas authentic jersey usually goes for $180.
We don't wear Reebok anymore.
I know, shush. They're like $180, and it ended up being, I think it was like almost $100. So, you know, you had some great deals on hand tonight.
Shame you didn't have that discount when you're buying your Brody jersey. Sure.
Go ahead, Alex. I'm sorry. What was that, Alex?
Shame you didn't have that discount when you're buying that Brody jersey.
Oh yeah, no, he went down to the Shark store and they had like the what was it? You were supposed to get the Brody kit and they didn't have it available. Is that what it was? Okay, I really don't want to turn into this. I don't want to turn this into a whole Brody Brazil, you know. But okay, your thoughts, Gentry, on the fan appreciation experience?
Here's the thing: is that the Sharks have a really good tendency of doing is that they do make the fans feel appreciated, which is why they call it Fan Appreciation Night. This is another year in which I've gone to Fan Appreciation Night and have won nothing. So
I need proof of this.
This fan in particular. I don't feel appreciated. I throw thousands of dollars at this team, but no, it's honestly, it's just the atmosphere is just second to none when it comes to just this team. And just, this is like the last hurrah before you go into the playoffs, and you know, you want that preview of the playoff atmosphere. And tonight, for, I would say, you know, for the first like 10 minutes or so, you kind of got that feeling of it, you know, when the Sharks
scored. And then when they tied it up.
Yes, exactly. It was loud. It was playoff loud, because this is what that team needed to kind of feel, is that this is, you know, at its peak, this is one of the most dangerous places to play, especially, you know, against a visiting team.
Hold on one moment. Can you guys keep it down? I'm sorry.
So I have two questions in the chat that keep on being brought up. What did you guys think of the New York Rangers letting go of their head coach?
Oh, AV getting the hook.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Gentry had mentioned. I think it was the second intermission that AV got fired.
So yes, AV getting fired. But sorry, I looked at the Eastern Conference playoff matchups, and the most anticipated one for me in the East is Philly and Pittsburgh.
That's going to be a really good one. God,
I'm so excited.
And not everything is set in the East for that matter. We might as well go over that really quick.
Wait a minute. What was this weird thing I was hearing? Like it was Philly and somebody else who had literally like every tiebreaker all just the same across the board.
And they're Florida.
Talking about 83 games.
Yeah, they're saying if Philly had lost by two or something like that, and they would have the exact same
It was very Bud Selig. There's no tying in baseball.
Yeah, we would have gone to an 83rd game. We would have had an 83rd game on like Tuesday for them to go for it. Now,
Philly and Florida.
It's all contingent on the game tomorrow with the Panthers and the Bruins at the moment. So it's right now Capitals against the Blue Jackets. You also have, like we said, Pittsburgh and Philly. At the moment, it's Tampa Bay, New Jersey, and then Boston and the Maple Leafs, but they have that game to make up tomorrow.
But this thing's going to piss me off. The way that they...
If it is Philly and Pittsburgh, I think the winner of that series comes out of the East.
I don't even care about that. The thing that pisses me off right now is looking at that. The fact that Boston and Toronto are facing each other in the first round is ridiculous. There's no reason those teams should be facing each other in the first round based on the silly realignment.
Oh, I hate this. I hate the playoff format just in general. Like, it should be 2-7, you know, 1-8. Yeah.
The way it used to be.
Because the thing is that, like, they originally did this because they wanted to build more playoff, you know, rivalry, because they wanted the divisional matchups.
That's great. I'm so sick of the Kings.
Thank you. But here's the thing is that it's like, if you, it's rare to get those divisional matchups. And when they do happen, it's that much special. You can't just, like, manufacture rivalries. And I know that
that's what they tried to do.
And the NHL is notorious for manufacturing rivalries, because look at it like this. How hard have they pushed the Crosby and Ovechkin rivalry? That wasn't even a rivalry until the NHL made it one. Stop trying to make fetch happen, NHL.
All right. And it's time to wrap this up.
Yeah, we want to thank a bunch of people for making this possible.
Oh, my God.
Jim Spiracco.
Yeah, let me get through this. I mean, Jim Spiracco, of course. Thank you so much for hooking us up tonight. This is something that we have wanted to do for a while. We obviously did a show last year the doubleheader, and that was fantastic. But this is something that we really wanted to do, Fan Appreciation Night. And, you know, be up here to have the banners in the arena behind us. So thank you so much, Jim Spiracco. Douglas Murray, who joined us during the second intermission. If you missed it, you can catch it on our YouTube channel. I mean, it's probably going to be the video before this one. But yeah. Douglas Murray joined us, explained a little bit about Sharks Alumni Association and just kind of like, you know, how he felt about the game up to that point. Again, Jamie Baker will be joining us later in this week to break down the playoff matchups and to just kind of preview what the Sharks can expect versus the Anaheim Ducks. And I think that's about it, guys.
Yeah, so we'll wrap it up here. There'll be plenty more content coming from Teal Town USA. Just be on the lookout for the Twitter. On the Twitter and on the Instagram and the Facebook. Make sure, I'm sure once the schedule comes out, we'll come on. We'll break that down. We don't know when.
I'm hoping Wednesday, Friday.
Which would possibly set up a Sunday, Tuesday here in San Jose for games 3 and 4. So we will see from that. Other than that, we thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. We will see you in the playoffs. Yes, the beard is coming back, folks, much to the dismay of everybody around me. So. With that, we'll take care of you and have a great night. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. We will see you in the playoffs. Go Sharks!
Go Sharks!